chat and arts, all coming to you live from London.
London Beat.
I'm Lily Steiner and I would love you to become a member of JAIR. Love that you're listening, but join up and encourage your friends to join too. It's only $54 a year and it helps us keep the station on the air. You can join on our website, www.j-air.com.au.
You are listening to JAIR, 88 FM.
London Beat.
You are tuned into the Havel radio station everyone loves.
JAIR, 88 FM.
On air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and online at j-air.com.au.
Greetings, greetings, dear listeners. This is Warren Wills coming to you from Melbourne, Australia, for this week's edition of the London Beat JAIR 88 FM, 9 a.m. Sunday morning here in Melbourne, midnight. Oh, yes. The twitching hour, stroke of midnight, as you enter the following day, i.e. Sunday, over there in London, United Kingdom. Huge call out. We've got lots of them. First of all, we're going to be having a bit of a review about a fantastic show that happened at Westminster Cathedral last week, and it was Craig Sheppard performing the entire opus, magnum opus indeed, of Chopin's Nocturnes, reviewed by the fabulous Pippa Lang, and which takes us on to an event we're going to cover for next week, and there is an Alzheimer's Dementia exhibition. It happens every year. It's at the Olympia, which is in Kensington, and which is the big barn of a beast of a location where, yeah, all kinds of conferences. I went to a beer festival there, all sorts of nonsense. Anyway, now you might think, oh gosh, in your cynical way, Alzheimer's, dementia. Yes, it's a whole thing. They have loads of exhibits and people come along. And, it's actually quite fascinating. I have my own particular beef about it because the focus is very much on care, not cure. And as you can appreciate, it is a multi-billion dollar industry. More about that later. A huge call out. Speaking of London, a fantastic talent over there. Ms. Jessica Wilde releasing new material. Can't wait to play it on our program for you. She was fantastic as Borte, the lead in the eponymous Borte music theatre piece that we did last year, the year before. God knows when. I'm getting very old, long at the tooth, that is for sure. In London and Kazakhstan. And Jessica Wilde was our fabulous lead. I notice there's no change. The election is going to be hard on the heels very soon over there in the UK. And all the campaigning, the sledging, the promising. Oh, hello, boring. Anyway, I see that conscription is firmly on the cards. That will go down well with the older generation, which is kind of ironic, given we've just kind of gone through the 80th anniversary of the D-Day celebrations and remembrance and commemorations, and people who made the ultimate sacrifice to create our way of life now, which is social media normalisation of polarised ideas and lying. I don't know. I'm being mildly cynical. I don't mean that. A huge call out to Andromeda Chure over there in New York, who's just released some fabulous material, Contigo. And what a sensational talent she is. The all singing, the all dancing, the all playing, the all acting, my goodness me. With a fabulous, a little cameo from Dad, Stephen Chure, trombonist par excellence over there. features with it on Contigo. JF, John Foundon, always doing amazing work over there, particularly when it comes to the heavy lifting or when it goes to cultural stuff that is happening for Ukraine. Stuff is happening with the Trumpeter. JF, we need to get you back on the program. You need to be talking to us about the production of the Trumpeter, which is happening in London, and really has a look at, Ukrainian culture and arts, and goodness me. It's sort of in the news, it's out of the news, oh, God knows. And JB, Jordan Brown, there is no other. There is no one else who does the heavy lifting with the musculature of the main man himself, Mr. JB Jordan Brown. And indeed, producer, composer, the list goes on. But all round, good egg, nice guy, humanist. We need more of his company as well. A huge call out as well to Denise Sylvie of the Mousetrap fame. How many performances? Over 7,000. A new cast is emerging again. And Denise is artistic director, more grist to your mill, and indeed I hope the cast is fabulous and to a very successful run. Performances are number over 7,000, not just in English, but as she tells us, they've done it in Mandarin, I believe, in Chinese and possibly Hindu. Must get Denise back on the show as well. Lots and lots going on. Yours truly, yes, Warren Wills, I have a recital series coming up. It starts next Sunday, June the 23rd. It is called Swoon, and we have plenty of great singers to swoon over. First cab off the rank is Sarah McLean, hot on the heels after that. We have Katie Johnson, Verin Harrell, Kelly Orty, Michelle Agu, Galit Klass, the list goes on, goodness me. Certainly looking forward to that. Tonight here in Melbourne, the Spanish Film Festival. Festival Película Español es comenzando. Muy, muy bien. Yeah, Spanish Film Festival starts. We'll get some input on that. The other thing I just quickly want to say, it is the Festival of Shavuot, the Festival of Weeks, which is the time of the harvest, I understand. Like I know. Yes. And there was an evening which happened earlier in the week. It happened at Koleno Habanim, where I had the great pleasure of working alongside two very diametrically opposed but equally talented flautists, one reigning from the Occident, as in Tanya Barkowski. I hope I've got the pronunciation of the name right. But she is certainly a phenomenon and a force for good. And Chinese flautist extraordinaire, Ms. Stephanie Chen, who brought along an incredible array of Chinese flutes. I'm sure very few people had any idea as to the origin of them, but it was certainly interesting. It was being done at 11:45. Can you believe that? How many nocturnal night owl creatures there are who want to really be festooned on an educational level with such wonders as we tended to unravel the mysteries, talking about contrasting and comparing music from the Orient and music of the Occident. That was for Shavuot, and that happened, as I say, just this week gone. There are so many cultural sporting events on. Goodness me. We could talk about the US Open Golf. I suppose we could. We could talk about the big one, of course, which is, of course, we're getting on with the Euros, and happens in Germany. And England, to be fair, has an embarrassment of riches up front. They should do very, very well. We also have, at the same time, we have the AFL is going on. We have the international cricket, and I see that. I don't know if it's fair to say this, but England had it almost like a match. I mean, it was absolutely ludicrous. They were playing Oman. Oh, man. You could say that again. And indeed, Oman were bundled out for something like 35, and England then achieved their target in three overs. Hardly a great advertisement for the World Cup, which is being held in the Caribbean, the USA. Lots and lots of things on. But yes, certainly looking forward to the pleasure of your company in the next 45 minutes. Much to share with you. But yes, we'll be having reviews and interviews and all the rest of it going on. I'm also very minded, there's a festival going on in Melbourne at the moment called the Rising Festival. Hopefully we're going to get someone to have a look at this apparently incredible Indian mentalist and magician doing a show called Spellbound at the Capitol Theatre, RMIT, Swanton Street in the CBD. Her name is Suhani Shah. Sounds like something worth checking out. We are going to pause for some music, and by overwhelming public demand and request, yes, think of England. Well, here's a little anthem for the Euros as Harry Kane, no, I mean Harry Kane and co, and the amazing Jude Bellingham and Phil Foden strut their stuff on the German German stage starting this weekend in the Euros. So here is JB Jordan Brown along with his great cohorts and colleagues as they present to you Think of England. You are, of course, listening to this week's edition of the London Beat.
The one who pouts on pavements everywhere. Narcotic smile, thousand yard stare. See her run, watch her hide away from the sun, and pray for the rain to stay, to bathe a broken head, wash off the blackened tears, the closest thing she has to souvenirs. Oh, close your eyes and think of England. We can wear our hollow crown. Star lying on the ground, so we all fall down.
And a huge warm welcome back to all of our listeners for this week's edition of the London Beat. That, of course, was Think of England, a fabulous track, maybe a potential anthem in the making if England goes well in the Euros in Germany, who knows. I was very, very moved by the shocking story that exposed the fragility and frailty of human life in all of us and somewhat of the invincibility or perceived invincibility Michael Mosley, everybody's favourite television health and wellness person, who really made such an outstanding contribution globally to people to be interested in diet and sleep and all the rest of it, sadly passed away while on holidays in Greece on the island of Syme last week. It was really quite extraordinary circumstances for a man of his profound intellect and wisdom and knowledge when it comes to all things to do with health, to disappear off into the blazing sun of a Greek island, 40 plus, armed with nothing but an umbrella, no water, no phone, seemed rather strange, but really sad. I suppose, without putting it too bluntly, shit can happen to anyone. We are all fragile human beings. Thus was it cruelly exposed. I see that Taylor Swift has started off a European tour, started in Edinburgh. And I wish Donald Trump would stop going on with the rest of the Republicans that she is a deep state plant, that somehow she is there as a spy, as a CIA spy. Yeah, dream on. I'm very excited about the fact that Maxim Vengerov will be coming out to Melbourne very soon. We will be interviewing the great Maxim Vengerov on the show in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. I see that Alan Hansen, the Scotland and Liverpool legend footballer, is taken very ill. In fact, life-threateningly ill, which is a very sad state of affairs. I see there's all kinds of nonsense going on with SpaceX and Boeing and Starship and the whole thing. China has planted the Chinese flag on the South Pole of the Moon. I mean, we haven't even got there yet. We haven't even finished wiping out, eradicating our own little planet before real estate becomes a hot topic when it comes to interstellar travel. Make of that what you will. It has been, of course, the King's birthday weekend. It hasn't really been the King's birthday weekend, and then before it was the Queen's birthday weekend. But here in Australia, we like to sort of make up our own minds when we want to have events. And it was very interesting because I went up to Queensland and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, no one's going to be around. But of course, Queensland and West Australia don't have the same holidays as the rest of the country, so it wasn't the King's birthday weekend up there. And on a much more salient and sober note, as I mentioned earlier, in fact, 80 years since D-Day, which paved the way for what we thought was going to be more peace, but we should have learned our lesson after the Great War, i.e. the war to end all wars, which certainly wasn't the end of the matter by any means. So many people, such a big topic, and something which we really do need to acknowledge. We do desperately, desperately need to respect each other. We're not asking everyone to be on the same kind of side of an argument, but we don't need to take up sides per se. We can be on the side of humanity. It isn't necessary because you don't agree with somebody. It doesn't have to end badly. People can have their opinions. Hey, I mean, we have conspiracists. We have all kinds of weird, wonderful, wacky. Bring it on. But let's not, you know, use this as some kind of excuse if people are not exactly the way we are, that somehow we have to resort to the most appalling behaviour. Let's all get on. That's respect. It's fine. People are entitled to their views, however they arrive at them. Why is it important that we attach ourselves to being right? Why is right so important? Okay, we have views, we have opinions, other people do. Who is right? I don't know. It doesn't matter. It really is not about being right. We are going to pause, of course, for some music. You are, of course, listening to this week's edition of the London Beat.
Thank you.
And welcome back to all of our listeners for this week's edition of the London Beat. And coming live from a pokey little town just 200 yards east of London called Berlin is our roving reporter on the scene, Mr. Dick Rose. Dick, are you there?
I am. How are you going, Wazza?
We're going pretty damn well here in Melbourne. Now, a lot of the people who are going to head off, tourists they are, who are going to head off to London's magical West End for the summer are going off to see fantastic shows. But, of course, not every show is a hit, and a lot of them die spectacular deaths and are known as duds or turkeys. I believe you're going to share about one with us as well.
I am. So I went with great anticipation to a musical called Opening Night. It's at one of Cameron McIntosh's theatres. It stars the BAFTA and two-time Olivia Award winner Sheridan Smith. And it's a weird show. And it doesn't captivate. It doesn't have tunes that you walk out humming.
It's a musical. It's a musical.
Story, the musical, lots of singing. She's a huge star.
Yep.
One of the things is that they spent an absolute fortune on it. It's closing 2 months early. It got some really turkey reviews. And they have these cameras on stage under the conceit that they're filming a documentary. And then the camera's output is put on a huge screen. So you don't know whether to look at the live action or to look at this huge screen. What it does mean is it can involve the audience and live action. So at one stage they showed the audience. Because I was in a bright orange jacket, all I could see was me.
Right.
And I love that. And secondly, it allowed them to do an event where she walks out into the street, live action, and has a hissy fit, and then goes back in and it shows the audience's reaction live in the street on the screen. So, but it was a distraction. You now, know, you didn't know where to look.
Tell me, Dick, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give it? 1 to 10?
3.
3. Now, here's the thing, Dick. This is an important question for you. Important. Some duds and turkeys are so cringeworthy, we often recommend that the punters must go and see them because it beggars belief. Is this one cringeworthy enough to see, or just forget about it?
No, I think it's got some value. Just to see this technique of the live action, they've got a huge orchestra, must have 10 in the orchestra.
Right.
Huge cast. They must be losing money hand over fist. And when we got to the theatre,
yep,
we were up in the gods, right up at the top, and they said, oh, you've been promoted, so we're put at the front of the dress circle.
Right.
So they don't have people walking through the door.
Okay.
They've papered the house.
I got it.
Put people like me, it's a dud.
I got it. Moving swiftly on here. Now, Dan Crawford, a bastion of our culture and somewhat of a legend in British theatre, ran for years and years the King's Head in Islington, which always did new works. Dan, unfortunately, is no longer with us, and I believe the King's Head has in fact changed location. And our roving man on the ground, your good self, Mr. Dick Gross, is going to share with us about an experience at the new King's Head. Do share.
So the King's Head is new. It's got an LGBTI focus. And we went to Diana, the untrue story, with Diana in drag, a Swedish performer, and it was fantastic.
Great.
And once again, they used the audience, but this time they used the audience by saving money. So it's a two-hander, and the audience were made to play parts. So people were anointed to be Diana's father and Diana's mother, and they would go up on stage, told where to stand, and read the parts on the screen. So they too had a screen.
Fantastic.
And you know, all these people, some overconfident, some terrified, came on and played multiple parts. It was very pro, Diana.
It was a joyful, triumphant experience.
Yes, because we forget just how important Diana was to legitimising the gay community.
Absolutely.
During the AIDS epidemic. And So they hated Camilla, and Camilla existed only as a sort of like a ghostly chimera.
Right.
And they were really down on Camilla, and they elevated Diana.
The wicked auntie in Cinderella.
yeah, absolutely. You need a baddie,
yep.
And that baddie was Camilla, who I'm sort of quite fond of.
It is, on a scale of 1 to 10, Dick, what would you give the piece?
8.5.
8.5. And the good thing is, Ron DeSantis will probably never allow it to be staged in Florida. So make that 9.5.
That's right. He's a bastard.
Absolutely. Dick, listen, congratulations. We are going to pause for some music. We thank you very much. We're hopefully going to get a couple more reviews out of Mr. Dick Ross, who is over there up the road from London in a pokey little place called Berlin. We're going to pause for some music. You are, of course, listening to this week's edition of the London Beat. I'm delighted to say that writer extraordinaire coming live from London with us, J.F. John Farndon himself. Are you there, John?
I am indeed, yes.
Now, John, I know this is a particular pet subject of yours, which is all to do with the extinction of the world and the apocalypse and the ongoing prophecies and the warnings of the doomsayers have been going on for years and years. Sadly, it looks like a lot of it is turning out to be quite true. Tell us a little bit about your understanding about these most extraordinary flooding events that have happened in the past couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, the one of them, for instance, then we're talking about the Russian Ural Mountains in Kazakhstan. That's had unprecedented flooding. And it was quite clear what the cause of that was. It's been the warmest start to the year on record in that part of the world, and a huge amount of snow melted as a result and caused catastrophic flooding. But I think that's this year so far we've had the warmest January on record around the world, the warmest February on record around the world, and in the UK we've had the wettest February for 200 years. Basically, there is climate chaos. It's not just global warming.
Right.
It's causing massive chaos around the world. And there is a, and the predictions are that this year will be the first year when we exceed 1.5 degree average above the pre-industrial norm, which is one of the red lines that lots of conferences have said we cannot exceed, and this year we're going to exceed it. But there's a good side,
right?
because, well, yes, I know it's kind of, but actually, recent research has suggested that if we do act, we can actually reverse this. We can, or not reverse it, but we can do a great deal to slow it down and mitigate the consequences. But we need to act. We need to take extreme action on fossil fuels. We need to kind of reduce our energy consumption overall. But this is possible, but it just needs, if only it was a just. But governments can do it. If they hit their targets that they promised to do, then we should be in a much better state. But they're not doing so. There is a rank failure on the part of governments across the world to take serious action. In this country, our government, which has strong ties to the fuel industry, the fossil fuel industry, is opening new oil wells. So its commitment, and the even its own government advisors saying, we are, you're missing your targets, you're not doing enough. And I would echo that.
Now, John, now obviously these phenomena don't happen in a vacuum. And I saw very recently a conversation with a British potato farmer who was bemoaning that in recent years he had unprecedented droughts where the potatoes had turned to dust, and now he had unprecedented flooding where the entire crop was ruined. Now, clearly the impact economically of these phenomena will be felt by people going out to buy their groceries, I imagine.
Well, absolutely. And you've just hit the nail with something on this. I was talking about the West February on record recently in the UK, and one of the problems is that the wheat crop is just not growing, and so we are going to, and that's not true just in the UK but in other countries, and so we are going to get a later this year, the harvest is going to be severely reduced, so bread prices will go up, there will be a severe shortage, so it is going to hit us in the mouth and in the pocket quite soon.
Now, of course, the other thing which is worrying for most people, and a lot of people have problems getting their head around it, but of course the fact that there is flooding doesn't mean that there is more drinking water around, and it often means that there is more effluents and sewage around.
Well, absolutely. And the kind of problem is that water to become available for use has to be retained in the ground. It has to ooze, seep in gently so that it's catchable. But when you get massive rainstorms in one go, it just runs off and takes with it in all kinds of industrial pollution, sewage and whatever. So massive rainstorms are bad for drinking water and bad for pollution, and can cause chaos and catastrophe for lots of people.
Now, in terms of also other impacts, apart from obviously economic and people obviously losing their homes and their livelihoods, we had an incident here last year where the ice in Antarctica did not repack the way it should have in come the winter. And as a result, the nesting grounds for a lot of the emperor penguins were lost. And many feared at this rate, the emperor penguin will become extinct very soon. Now, of course, this is going to also have huge knock-on ecological effects to the whole chain, the whole system of species and food, etc.
Absolutely. The one of the problems is that nature is, we don't have isolated species, isolated animals, isolated plants. It's all part of the big net, and the knock-on effects of even small changes can be quite severe. But I don't want to kind of dwell too long on the, as you said, the doomsaying, because it's kind of, because if we dwell too much on the catastrophes, we end up wanting to just hide away and not talk about it. But there are tremendous initiatives in many parts of the world to preserve wildlife, to look after wildlife. And it's possible. It is possible to do things. We just need, it really does depend on governments, but we need to pressure governments to do more, because it's governments in connection with global corporations that are doing that. Most ordinary people do very little damage to the environment. So it's not going to ruin your life to take whatever people say. Was at the moment, for instance, that in London there's this big fuss over the extension of the ultra low emission zone, which the mayor wants to extend because we're to reduce pollution in the boroughs. But hysteria has been whipped up by protesters who think they're going to be deprived of their cars, which is not true. It's basically those kind of measures are going to benefit all of us.
Well, John, it has been again a privilege and a pleasure talking to you, and I admire your boundless energy and enthusiasm, and you're quite right. I think if everyone thinks it's doom and gloom, people think, oh, what the hell, and do nothing about it to change their ways. So we do need to be incentivized and encouraged to know that, yes, we can do things to make it a better planet to live on, for sure.
Absolutely, yes. And I'm an optimist, and I think optimism is the kind of warming that we need.
Indeed. John, as always, it has been a great pleasure having your insight. We are going to pause for some music. I am hoping that we're going to be able to speak to you next week about some other matters. But for the time being, a huge thank you to John Farndon there in London for his take on the unprecedented flooding going on in the world at the moment. We're going to pause for some music. You are listening to John Farndon and Warren Wills in conversation for this week's edition of the London Beat.
Fools rushing where angels fear to tread, and so I come to you, my love, my heart above my head, though I see there's a chance for me, then I don't care. Fools rushing where wise men never go, but wise men never fall in love. So how are they to know when we met? I felt my life begin. So open up your heart and let this fool rush in.
Sadly, dear listeners, all good things must come to an end. And indeed, this week's edition of the London Beat is, of course, no exception. It has been a great pleasure, a privilege and a pleasure having your company on this Sunday morning here in Melbourne, Australia, or, in fact, midnight to a quarter to one. Sunday morning over there in London, in the UK. To all those people who contributed to the show this week, and there are many who made a most amazing and fantastic contribution, thank you so much. To Pippa Lang for doing the heavy lifting when it came to Craig Shepherd's solo recital of the complete Nocturnes of Chopin at Westminster Cathedral. To Jessica Wilde, who is releasing new material and is a prodigious talent over there in the UK. Thank you for doing such a great job with Borte, and we're looking forward to hearing the new material. To Andromeda Ture, who is over there in New York. New York, New York. Congratulations on the release of your new material. JF, continued congratulations with the fantastic writing and work and the industry and endeavour that is going involved to bring the cultural aspects of what is going on in Ukraine, etc., to the wider world. JB Jordan Brown, no praise high enough, young man. Indeed, a proud father and husband and musician and teacher and producer, and the list goes on and on. Denise Sylvie, a huge call out over there, doing sterling work with the Mousetrap and beyond. To Dick Gross, our roving reporter on the ground, covering, amongst other things, the Spanish Film Festival and more. And a special thank you again to Tanya from the Halev Choir, and indeed Stephanie Chen, Chinese flautist extraordinaire, for doing fabulous stuff as we were doing this whole thing, which was really interesting, comparing and contrasting Chinese and Western music, but particularly Jewish and Chinese music, which was a lot of fun. We will be here at the same time next week. Who knows? Will Australia get further on and win the Cricket World Cup? Will England do well in the Euros? Will Scotty Scheffler walk through and breeze through? Or Rory McIlroy win the US Open? All these questions and others will be answered next week. Have yourself a great Sunday. This is Warren Wills teeing off J-Air 88 FM, this week's edition of the London Beat.
London Beat.
Seven, eight, you're gonna get so very wet. I said 9, 10, 11, 12. You better shake it, better shake, 'cause I tell you, honey, I won't be stopping till I hear you say,
J-Air, 88 FM.
J-Air is committed to diversity and inclusiveness for the Jewish and broader community.
j-air.com.au.
Hi, this is Mark Kopolov with a reminder that you can support J-Air by joining as a member at j-air.com.au. Your membership fee of $54 a year will help J-Air maintain its commitment of bringing your community to you.
Do you have any suggestions or requests? We would like to hear from you. Get in touch and send us a text message on 0404 55 69 888.
Hi, this is Menashe Kaltman reminding you to tune into our program.